Lux presents Hollywood. Lever Brothers Company, the makers of Lux Flakes, bring you the Lux Radio Theater, starring James Stewart, Stephen McNally, and Julia Adams in Winchester 73. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we bring you the story of a rifle. The perfect one-in-a-thousand Winchester, known as the Winchester 73. So named because it was perfected in the year 1873. Now, just the story of a gun could be dreadfully dull. It is, after all, an inanimate object, until it is taken up in unlawful hands and becomes a deadly weapon. Now, today we guard against the uncontrolled use of firearms. But in 1873, when we were intent on winning the West, a man's life often depended upon his ability to shoot, and therefore his gun was his most valuable possession. In tonight's suspenseful story, we have James Stewart and Stephen McNally in their original roles. And co-starring in this outdoor drama from the Universal International Studios is lovely Julia Adams. You know, I received several letters lately from housewives who say that when I first talked about new Lux with color freshener, they doubted Lux Flakes could be improved upon. But now that they've tried new Lux, they're delighted because they find that new Lux really does keep colors fresh and lovely longer. Now, Winchester 73, starring James Stewart as Lynn McAdam, Stephen McNally as Dutch, and Julia Adams as Lola. This is the story of the Winchester rifle, model 1873, the gun that won the West. To cowman, outlaw, peace officer, or soldier, the Winchester 73 was a most treasured possession. An Indian would sell his soul to own one. On July 4, 1876, such a rifle came to Dodge City, Kansas. It was placed on exhibition.
Man, oh man, look at it, a Winchester 73.
What a give to have that rifle.
One out of a thousand, first one I've ever seen. But, mister, that's a real gun.
Heard it took over a year to make it.
Yeah, I give the first one to President Grant.
I'll sure be in good company when I win that one.
Well, then, we hit a lot of towns. What makes you think he'll be here?
He'll be here.
We've been wrong before.
He'll be here.
On account of what we just saw in the store window?
If he isn't here already, that rifle will bring him. Come on, let's find a place to board our horses.
The rifle wasn't for sale. They were going to stage a shooting contest, the rifle going to the winner. But I never got to see who won. All I got was an invitation to leave town.
Come on now, Lola.
Let go. Let me alone.
Come on now. Let's not have any fuss. Now you just get aboard that stagecoach.
I'm not going. You've got no right to treat me like this.
You can come back. It's just till over the holiday.
Why don't you pick on the gunslingers and the gamblers instead of a girl trying to make an honest living? And what about Steve? If he comes to town and finds I'm gone, he's liable never to catch up with me. Oh, please.
Is there something I can do for you, ma'am?
Huh? Oh.
Stranger in town, mister?
That's right, but I was talking to the lady.
Now, don't you fret about it, Lola. Steve Miller comes along, I'll send him after. All right, Ben, get that stage out of here.
Well, thanks anyway, mister.
Oh, Lola's all right, mister. It's just that some folks think the dance hall girls might give the place a bad name over the holiday. You and your friend planning to stay for the shooting match?
We might.
The Dodge House is about the best place in town. Might be full up, but I'll put in a word for you with Jake. Well, might as well drop off your guns. Let's have them.
Drop off our guns? Now, wait a minute.
You must have a real good reason to ask a man to do a darn fool thing like that.
We don't allow anybody to wear guns in Dodge City. Hadn't you boys noticed?
Who's we?
Didn't I introduce myself? I keep forgetting to wear that piece of tin.
I got it on me somewhere here. Hold on, gents. It's in one of these pockets.
Sure. Knew I had it somewhere. A man could get himself killed hiding his badge like that.
U.S. Marshal, huh?
That's right. Name of Earp. Wyatt Earp.
Oh, Wyatt Earp. Oh, yeah. Give him your gun, High Spade.
Yeah. Some more guns, Virgil. Put them with the others in my office.
There's an awful lot of law for one little cow town.
Well, this is the kind of a cow town that needs a lot of law. Now, if you boys want to sign up for the rifle troop, just come along with me. All you have to do is... What's the trouble, stranger? You see a ghost?
That's him, Lim, going in the saloon.
Yeah.
You were right then. Only why would he come here?
I told you the rifle, the Winchester 73. I knew he'd come.
You know Dutch Henry?
Who?
That fellow just went in the saloon. Dutch Henry Brown.
I know him.
What's your name? I'll need it to sign you up.
All right, if I use my own.
Some folks do.
Lynn McAdam. My friend here's High Spade Frankie Wilson.
High Spade with a hyphen. That's what I sit on when I get tired.
Dutch Henry, a friend of yours?
I wouldn't exactly call it that, no.
Oh, personal matter, huh? I hope it can wait till you fellas leave town.
Well, it's waited a long time, Mr. Earp. It can wait a little longer.
That's good. That's fine. I'm planning on a nice, quiet 4th of July.
Well, that was the beginning. And an awful lot happened before it all ended. But now that I know the whole story, I guess I'm as good as anyone to tell it. Anyway, that afternoon the whole town turned out for the shooting match. Wyatt Earp told him a little more about the prize they were shooting for.
So it seems that when the Winchester people are turning out these here rifles, every so often, maybe one gun out of 10,000 comes out just perfect. They've given it a name. They call it One of a Thousand. President Grant owns one of these rifles. So does Buffalo Bill Cody. And today, one of you boys are going to walk out of here with the finest repeating rifle in the entire world. So take your positions on the firing line. This here shooting match is ready to begin.
Half an hour later, there were just two men left in the contest. Lynn McAdam and Dutch Henry Brown. Even Wyatt Earp said he'd never seen shooting as fancy as he saw that afternoon. And when it was over, he handed the rifle to Lynn McAdam.
You can take the rifle now, McAdam, or you can wait till morning. The boys would like to engrave your name here on the gun stock.
Wow, that's real nice of them. I appreciate it.
Wait a minute.
Well, Dutch?
I just thought I'd ask how much he'd take for it.
It's not for sale.
Ah, that's too bad. That's too much gun for a man to have just for shooting rabbits.
Or for shooting men in the back.
Why?
Yeah. Like I said before, a nice, quiet 4th of July. You know, it looks like you and Dutch here might have learned to shoot from the same man.
Yeah, he taught quite a few folks how to shoot. Only trouble was he taught them how. He didn't teach them what to shoot at.
Maybe he figured a man should know that without having to be told.
Yeah, that was his big mistake. He lived just long enough to find that out.
It's all right with you, Mr. Earp. I'll pick up my gun at your office.
You pulling out of town?
That's right. Me, Wesley, and Wheeler.
Get your gear before you go to the office, and the minute you pick up your guns, you leave town.
Oh, sure, Marshal, sure. That's the law.
I guess I won't have time for that engraving after all.
Well, you're leaving too, huh?
Get the horses high, Spade. I'll get the stuff out of the hotel.
Just a minute. This personal business between you and Dutch Henry. I don't care what you do to each other once you leave town, but there'll be no gunfighting until you do. Is that understood?
It's understood.
Come on, Lynn. Let's get started. You all right, Lynn?
Yeah. Find out where he put his horse?
Right next to ours, Wells Fargo Corral. But don't try anything here, not with Earp around. You got to wait, Lynn.
I can wait. I can wait.
Dutch Henry wanted that Winchester 73 real bad. It wasn't hard getting it, either. He and his two friends were waiting for Lynn when he walked in his hotel room. 5 minutes later, Dutch was riding hard out of town, and hanging from his saddle was the Winchester 73.
I don't know about you, Dutch, but But after 2 days, this saddle is pounding the back of my neck.
And 2 more days before we reach Tascosa. You sure Waco know what he's talking about?
Yeah, he better know. That bank better be full of cash, or Waco's gonna be full of holes. Anything else eating you, boys?
Yeah, our guns. They're still hanging on a wall back in Dodge City.
Well, I got all I want right here.
Oh, look over there. More Indian smoke.
In back of us, too, toward that saddleback. Can you read it?
I don't have to. Indian smoke means just one thing to me. Trouble. Hey, Dutch, you think McAdam has started after us yet?
That's hard to say. He took quite a beating. Quite a beating.
What good's that 73 going to do you without any shells?
Oh, I'll get shells. Plenty of shells.
In Tascosa?
I thought I said you knew. You knew this country.
Yeah, enough of it to know it's full of Indians.
Ever hear of Riker's place?
Riker's?
Yeah, he's got a trading post. Everything we need right now, Riker's got.
Yeah, but how many miles away?
If you'd shut your mouth and open your eyes, you wouldn't ask so many stupid questions.
Wheeler, look. Beyond those cottonwoods.
You feel better now, Wheeler? That's Riker's place. Kind of lonely around here, ain't it, Riker? Just you and Mr. Lamont?
Everybody else got scared out by Injuns, Dutch.
And I don't mind saying I'm doing the same. Soon as I get my business done.
And, what might that be, Mr. Lamont?
It's in plain sight, Mr. Brown. Over there on the counter. Guns, rifles, and ammunition.
You ain't selling to Indians.
I sell to anyone who pays my price. Looks like you and your friends might have been in Dodge City. Left in a hurry.
That could be, yeah.
No guns, eh? I guess Wyatt Earp's still marshal.
That's right. So we'll buy some of yours. 3.6 guns and some .44-40 shells from my Winchester. How much?
$300.
$300? Why, a 6-gun costs $25 anywhere in the territory.
My price is $300.
Just a thief, huh? We got $82. What'll it bring?
Nothing. You mind if I look at your Winchester, One of 1,000. Yes, that's a real fine rifle. Don't suppose you want to sell?
I'm buying, not selling.
Maybe so. But not for me.
Your guns are for sale. Who else is going to buy them?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Mr. Brown. I'm waiting for Young Bull to send his man here.
What's Young Bull doing this far north?
I wouldn't know. But they all want repeating rifles since the Little Bighorn.
Little Bighorn?
The Sioux jumped Custer. Wiped them all out. Yes, sir. Getting to be mighty tough country to travel in without a gun.
Well, a young bull might not show up, and you'd be stuck with all those guns.
It could be, Mr. Brown. That's why I'm willing to give you $300 in gold for your Winchester. And you can take your pick of the 6 guns. Might even throw in 50 rounds of shells.
I'm not threatening.
You're talking like a fool, Dutch. Give him the Winchester.
I said no deal.
Be smart. How far are we going to give our guns?
All right. You got a deal, Lamont.
Thank you. Show him the guns, Mr. Riker. They can take the pick.
This way, boys. Right over here.
A Winchester 73. Yes, sir. Like a jewel, you might say. And brand new, eh, Mr. Brown? Why, a man who owns a rifle...
Set it down, Lamont. Then put up your hands.
Well, we made a deal.
Did we? I don't deal with Indian traders. So back up, Mr. Lamont.
Put that gun in your belt, Dutch, or I'll kill you.
Shoot a man in the back, Riker?
I wouldn't be the first. You ought to know.
The gun's in my belt.
You hadn't ought to have tried that, Dutch. You know I run a decent place. Help yourself to the bottle. One on the house before you leave.
Who said I was leaving?
You're leaving.
Better give them the rest of the shells, Mr. Riker. They may need them.
Later that night, Lamont left Riker's place. He got word that Young Bull was ready to meet with him.
Now, there's no point getting angry, Young Bull. I admit the rifles aren't Winchesters, but everyone's a repeater, and they'll all shoot true.
You lie. Rifles you bring are old, worn out. They are not the guns of which we spoke. If you want my gold,
Bring me the guns with which Crazy Horse and the Sioux made their war, Little Big Horn.
Oh, then you know about Custer, huh?
That is the gun I want. The one on your saddle.
Well, there isn't enough money in your whole tribe to buy that rifle.
That is the gun I want. Hola! Masco!
When the Indians rode away, the Winchester 73 had another new owner, Young Bull. That same night, two more riders were heading toward Riker's place. Lynn McAdam and Highspeed.
Oh, why don't you admit it, Lynn? You're about ready to fall out of that saddle. Why don't we rest up for a while?
No, I'm not that tired.
A few hours more or less ain't going to make any difference. We've been chasing him since I can't remember.
That's right, that's right. We've never been this close before. We'll keep going till we hit Riker's place.
Dutch said he was pushing on into Tascosa, huh? You say anything else, Riker?
Well, I didn't hear much. Something about meeting up with Waco Johnny Dean.
Uh-huh. All right, thanks a lot, Riker. You've been real friendly. Come on, High Spade, let's move along.
Oh, you mean you're going to get up and ride away from all this comfort?
All right, now, how long have we been trailing Dutch? How many months?
I know. We've never been so close before. That's what you said on the way to Dodge City.
Keep your eyes open along the ridge. Plenty of engines these days.
Thanks, Riker. Well, we'll be seeing you.
Well, the way things worked out, we were all on the same trail. I guess you remember how Wyatt Earp had invited me out of Dodge City by stagecoach. In a way, I was glad he had, because I'd met up with Steve, the fellow I was waiting for, at the first stop. Steve hired a buckboard, hitched his horse in back, and we started on our way.
And if I'd have been there, Wyatt Earp or no Wyatt Earp, he wouldn't have run you out of town.
Oh, it don't matter now, as long as you found me. Tell me about the ranch, Steve. It's real pretty, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the old Jameson place, 40 miles out of Tascosa.
And we can move right in and start living there.
Well, you can.
But what about you?
Well, I gotta meet some friends of mine, Lola. Only take me a day or two. It's a deal.
Oh, please, Steve, please. No more deals. That's why I worked in Dodge City. That's why I got the money.
That's so just what I mean. You got the money. Well, now I gotta get some.
Steve!
Indians!
Can we outrun them?
I don't know. Give me that whip. Come on, get up, boy! Get up! Go! Go!
We have fresh horses and a good start, but we wouldn't stand a chance. It was then that I learned a little more about Steve.
Whoa!
Steve, what are you trying to do?
Saddle horse. I'll ride ahead and find help.
What about me? Oh, don't leave me, Steve. Please, please.
I'll get help. I'll come back as soon as I can.
Steve did come back. He did find help. It was the wildest kind of luck. A camp of soldiers, cavalry patrol. But then I found out our luck wasn't so good after all. I heard the sergeant talking to Steve.
I don't understand. Indians know your camp here?
It was like driving you and the lady into a corral. Yeah, they've had us pinned down here since yesterday. I got a dozen men, is all. They're on all sides of us. Maybe you better tell the lady.
No one went to sleep that night. We just kept close to the fire, waited. Not knowing that the Indians were driving two more white men into the trap.
You hear what I hear, Lynn?
Yeah, I hear him.
I told you night riding wasn't smart.
Yeah, I guess you did.
Now we're smack in the middle of them.
Yeah, I guess you're right again.
Being right ain't going to do us much good. What'll we do now?
We keep riding.
The Indians all around us?
Well, maybe you'd feel better if we stopped.
No.
Well, we'll just keep on riding.
Look at my hair. It was such pretty hair. I had it ever since I was a kid. A little thin on top, but I'd sure like to keep it.
Yeah. I kind of think maybe...
Look.
Look over there. Campfire. Come on, come on.
Wrong way, Lynn. We're heading right into their camp.
That's no Indian fire. It's too big. Come on, pour it on. Stop that fool shooting. We're friends. Don't shoot. We're right in.
Hold your fire. They're white men. Hold your fire.
Well, thanks for leaving the door open. Say, my name's McAdam. This High Spade here.
Sure can use two more men. My name's Wilkes. This is Steve Miller. He and his lady come a-calling on us a little earlier.
You got a woman here?
They jumped us on the ridge, too.
Oh. Well. Well, hello again.
Hello.
You know him, Lola?
He's the fella I told you about. The one who stood up to Wyatt Earp for me.
Well, to tell the truth, I didn't know it was Wyatt Earp.
I hate to bust this up, but we make a wonderful target standing in front of the fire.
Keep your eyes open, boys. They'll be trying to rush us any minute now.
You from Fort Baskin, Sergeant?
That's where we're headed. Replacements.
Oh. Oh, you're new in the territory, huh?
Yep. Pennsylvania Ninth. Picked up our mounts at Fort Smith. We've been riding ever since.
Pennsylvania Ninth. Well, say, you fellas were at Gettysburg, weren't you?
Yeah. Left a rib there. One of them Johnny Ribs hung me up on a bayonet. It's a real group of fighting men. Never knew when they was licked. Gave us a real bad time at Shiloh and Bull Run.
Uh-huh. Say, about these Indians. It seems like they hardly ever attack at night.
Why not?
Well, they figure if they're killed in the dark, the Great Spirit can't find their souls to whip them up to heaven or something. I don't know. I don't mean to be forward, Sergeant, but if you've never fought him before...
Keep talking. You ain't forward.
Well, it might be a good idea to have your men catch up on some sleep. They're going to be real busy tomorrow morning.
Hmm. You men turn in. Get some sleep. Coates, Murphy, sentry duty. Call your relief. 4 hours.
A little later, Lynn walked over to me. He brought his saddle and a blanket.
No feather bed, miss, but I think you'll find it a little more comfortable.
Thanks.
Steve Miller just told me you're heading out to a ranch, is that right?
Yeah, my very first own home. I guess you wouldn't know, but it means an awful lot to me.
I know.
You got a home like that?
I did once, sort of.
With your wife?
No, I haven't got a wife. I was with my father.
Is that where you're bound now, to your home?
No. No, my father was killed. I hear those birds? Kind of pretty, aren't they? Sometimes they sing all night, you know that?
They're not birds. I know what they are. You afraid of tomorrow?
Would it do any good for me to lie to you?
No.
I'm afraid.
I guess everybody gets afraid sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Good night, Lola.
Good night, Lynn.
It's starting to get light, McAdam. How soon do you figure?
Any time now, I guess. You know, Sergeant, I was talking to a fellow named Riker. He was telling me how Crazy Horse and the Sioux wiped out Custer. They're real smart fighters. It seems they knew all about your Springfield rifles being single shot.
You mean they had repeaters?
That's right. They sent their first wave in light so they'd draw the fire, and then they sent in a second wave heavy before Custer's men had a time to reload.
You figure this bunch will try the same thing?
I kind of think maybe they will. Only this time, maybe we just might outfox them on account of High Spade and I got Winchesters.
Hold your fire for the second wave.
Well, it's up to you. It's up to you, Sergeant. Whatever you say.
Hold it, then.
Yeah. That sounds like they're getting ready.
Yeah. Run out, you men. Get to your places. Take them as they come.
Any place special you want me to stay?
Yeah. Right under the wagon here. Yeah.
Thanks for the saddle. It was real comfortable.
Oh, wait a minute. Take this six-shooter, just in case you...
I know how to use it. And the last bullet, I understand about that, too.
They're going to be rushing us in about three more hoops. What do you pick for your spot?
Well, they're going to come in under the sun. Let's get up to the other end of the wagon here.
Here they come!
Come on.
All right, boys! Let them have it!
Our stars return with Act Two of Winchester 73. Here's Mr. Keeley with late movie news.
Tonight, John, it's a really great film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Technicolor production, Quo Vadis. 2 years in the making and a cast of 30,000. Imagine 30,000 actors headed by Robert Taylor, Deborah Carr, and Leo Genn. You know, Quo Vadis is one of the most beautiful love stories ever told. That of Marcus, the Roman warrior, and Lygia, the Christian slave girl, whose faith proves greater than her love.
Which leads up to one of the most unforgettable moments in the picture, the burning of Rome.
Yes, the film, directed by Mervyn LeRoy and produced by Sam Zimbalist, is filled with breathtaking scenes of action and beauty that you just can't afford to miss. Nero's foreign legions, the gladiator fights, the Christians facing the lions in the Colosseum.
And the colorful costuming and the huge crowd scenes in Quo Vadis. Roman togas in wonderful fabrics and colors, and every detail historically true. Except one. The Romans didn't have Lux. But the wardrobe department insisted that even in Rome, they give washables the same care as at home. Lux Flakes. New Lux with color freshener is a modern washing miracle. No other soap, no suds of any kind, is safer or gentler. It's perfect for white nylons, rayons, silks, cottons, too. Gives them new brilliance, new whiteness. Gay prints sparkle like new, and all shades take on new beauty, new depth, new brightness, luxing after luxing.
The world's most glamorous women, famous Hollywood screen stars like Deborah Carr, are never without wonderful new Lux.
Have you tried it yet?
New Lux, enriched with color freshener, is scientifically made to give you the most perfect washing results possible. Get a big box tomorrow. Give your washables that nice as new Lux look.